Yes, good morning. Welcome along to Radio Yorkshire. And for the next few minutes, we are talking movies in the company of Kretisha Euphigenia Eloise Marr. Morning.
Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
You love it every time I say your name like that, don't you?
People are starting to think that's my name.
I think that's exactly what I wanted.
I had enough work at uni convincing people my name wasn't Patricia. And now I've got to convince them it's not Kretisha.
Now it's Kretisha. Are they thinking that you've got, like, Euphigenia and Eloise are your actual middle names?
Yeah.
Brilliant. We've just got to continue doing that, really. I'm going to get your T-shirt with it on and everything. Okay, yes, we are talking movies. We're going to be reviewing the film The Martian. That's a little bit later on. We'll have a look at some TV movies that are coming up this weekend, and we'll look ahead to, as well, to the big new movie that most probably you're going to want to see at the IMAX, which is The Walk. Brand new from Robert Zemeckis, of course, man behind Castaway and Back to the Future. So we'll be hearing the trailer for that in a short wee while. It's time to put some people out of their misery with Clipbait this morning. And last week's Clipbait, clip from the movie, you needed to name us the movie. Here it is.
Gentlemen, to business. Okay, I am here as one of the more senior D-jocks at this station. I'm going to talk about jobs. Like a Nazi officer, this, isn't it? Should snap my heels together here. Achtung!
Guten Tag.
Silence! Sorry, that's a miss you.
Of course, it was Alan Partridge, Alpha Papa. Well done to everybody that got it right. First one out of the hat this morning is Sarah Bennett. You win the movie prize pack this week. And there's another movie prize pack on offer for this week's clip bait. Here's the clip from the movie. You've just got to tell us, well, what movie is this then?
You talking to me? You talking to me? You talking to me? Well, who the hell else are you talking to? Talking to me? Well, I'm the only one here.
Well, I'm the only one here. So what movie's that from? If you think you know, at radio underscore... good noise, good noise. At radio underscore Yorkshire, studio at radioyorkshire.co.uk, use the hashtag clipbait, and we will announce the winner of the movie prize pack next Wednesday morning on the movie podcast. So look at some new movie news then, Kretisha, and what have you got?
There's someone who's looking to reboot Flatliners.
Does it need a reboot?
Not really. I loved the first one. The first one
it's
was
all right.
With Julia Roberts, Keith Sutherland, Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
About junior doctors who figured out when their hearts stopped and, well, when they died.
Yeah.
They had a minute of kind of dreamy bliss, didn't they? And they, they wanted to be brought
they
back.
They want to extend
it. They
want
to see how
sort
far
of things,
they could
sort out things in their lives, couldn't they? I remember that, yeah.
And that was Joel Schumacher. This is being rebooted by... the writer of Source Code, Ben Ripley, and Ellen Page is on board to do it, potentially. It's going to be focusing more on new technology and stuff like that, because obviously it wasn't that technologically advanced.
No, what was that in the very early 90s? I remember I was working at the cinema in Bournemouth, at the Odeon Bournemouth, when that was on. I was tearing the tickets for people to go and see that film, I remember.
Tearing the tickets.
Yeah, tearing the tickets. Those were the days. Those were the best job ever, apart from this one, of course. Thanks, Sam. that was like the best job. If you were like a student or anything, working at the cinema was just immense. Because you didn't do any work. You just tore a few tickets, watched a film, went home.
I got turned down because I wasn't qualified enough.
What qualifications do you need to tear a ticket? Or serve a hot dog? You don't really need any qualifications. That's embarrassing. You couldn't even get that job, dear me.
Post-uni. Trinity. Woohoo.
Okay, we were talking Back to the Future a little bit earlier on. And, well, to promote the upcoming 30th anniversary of the trilogy, 30 years this year. They are pulling out all the stops for it this year. There's quite a lot happening. They're launching a new short film featuring Christopher Lloyd, Doc Brown. That's going to be out and about around the 21st of October, because 21st of October is the date that Marty McFly went to the future. 21st of October, 2015. Well, people got it wrong over the last few years. It really annoyed me, because you'd have the picture of the time circuits and everybody would be like, oh, today's the day Marty went to the future. No, it's not! It's 21st of October 2015. So this is the year, this is the date that it's got. Well, it just annoys me. But they are pulling out all the stops for it. So have a look at the teaser trailer for the Christopher Lloyd. That's a very, very small teaser trailer as well for this new short film with Christopher Lloyd in. But also, if you remember from Back to the Future 2, where he goes to the future and then walks around Hill Valley, there's a number of things he sees: hoverboards, mm-hmm. flying cars.
Jaws.
Jaws 19. Universal have got right behind that. Have a listen to this.
Jaws made you afraid to go in the water. Jaws 2 made you afraid to go back in the water. Jaws 3D was a new dimension in terror. In Jaws 4 The Revenge, it was personal. Then it was just business. Then pure pleasure. Cyber Jaws made you afraid to log on. And Robo Jaws made you afraid of robotic sharks. Then Chief Brody's grandson assembled a super team of shark hunters. Jaws 10, it was man versus shark versus all the terrors of the deep. Outer space, then a prequel, and a sequel to the prequel. And then a new era in terror began. Jaws started a family. Battled a Russian shark named Ivan Sharkovsky, took a bite out of the Big Apple, and learned about love from a mysterious stranger. Jaws 18 Origins, the mind-blowing reboot. Now, the oceans are disappearing, and to save their home, the sharks must attack. Jaws 19. This time, it's really, really personal.
That's ridiculous.
It's so good, isn't it? Soon.
That was someone's job.
I know, but that is the coolest thing. Max Spielberg directed it, apparently.
Is that a little Spielberg?
I think so, yeah. That was the prediction. But I really, really love that. I think that's superb. It's lovely fun. If you have a look on YouTube, you can watch the trailer for Jaws 19 as well. But well done, Universal. I love what they're doing. Pepsi are coming out with the Pepsi bottle that you in Back to the Future 2. Around October 21st, you're going to be able to buy Pepsi in that bottle.
Big cash cow.
Yeah. I don't know if the Nike Air Max with power laces are coming out. The Air Max came out five years ago.
Yeah, they haven't made some.
But they never had power laces because when Nike were interviewed in 2010 about it, they said, yeah, the Air Max available. They went for like thousands and thousands. Everything went towards the Parkinson charity
trainers.
Team Fox. They're trainers, but they're also awesome. And if power laces come out with them in October 21st, then I'd be very tempted, but there'll be thousands of pounds, so I'm not going to do it. But yeah, if you've not got it on Blu-ray, then it's well worth getting. You will get a UK version of that coming very, very shortly as well. So there'll be a brand new Blu-ray with lots of different documentaries all about Back to the Future. So exciting stuff if you're a BTTF fan like me. Next, Patricia.
Hugh Jackman. His daughter wanted to go to Disney World and he wanted to make sure no one recognised him so it was more about her and he wouldn't have to do Wolverine poses and all the rest.
Yeah.
So he dressed up as Blackbeard from the new film and he was so unrecognisable, no one stopped him, no one realised it was him. Even when his brother saw him in the makeup, he didn't recognise him.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, isn't it?
He seems to me, and I've heard him in a number of interviews,
yeah,
like the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
I want to interview him. I just think I want to be his friend. I want to have a beer with him.
Yeah, he's got no Achilles heel, has he?
He just seems absolutely lovely. He really, really does.
Maybe he's really bad at maths.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, could be. Let's hope, let's hope. Because he's a classic old-school movie star, Hugh Jackman.
He
sings, he dances, he acts, he's funny, he's an action hero. He's just, like, everything. He's everything.
He is everything.
Got a lot of man love for him. something I have not got a lot of love for is Transformers. And, well, good news if you're a Transformers fan.
Mm-hmm.
Their franchise are planning up to part 8. yes, if you are a bit of a fan of Autobots versus Decepticons, the performance of last year's Age of Extinction has seen Studio Paramount map out the journey of the robots in disguise for the next decade. So Transformers 5 already in the works. 6, 7 and 8 are now also plotted as well. And there's going to be spin-offs as well. There's going to be spin-offs. There's a Transformers universe. Stephen J. Davis is the head of Transformers toy manufacturer Hasbro. We've just finished an incredible experience. We decided we wanted to plot out the next 10 years in the Transformers franchise. A tribe of writers have spent 3 months thrashing out on screen the future of the brand, shepherded by Akiva Goldsman, who many of you know won an Academy Award for Beautiful Mind, but of course also wrote Batman and Robin with George Clooney.
I thought, like, the only film that went past 5 sequels was The Land Before Time, and even...
Well, Fast and Furious has, hasn't it, really? I suppose now it's on to 7, and then the next one will be 8, won't it?
Saw a great article in on a showbiz website of Vin Diesel looking a little bit porky, and they put Fat and Furious.
Oh, very nice. Nice. Very nice. Also, Police Academy. They went up to 7, I think, didn't they? Mission to Moscow. What a great film that was.
I've seen Police Academy 3.
Oh, see the first one. The first one's a really good one. Don't worry, it's going to be rebooted. Of course. Kat, what's your final bit of news?
Oh, what can I choose? What should I choose?
Oh, there's plenty.
Tom Hiddleston's been talking about why Loki wasn't in Avengers Ultron?
Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron. He did record scenes.
Yeah.
But they cut them because he'd become too powerful and it unbalanced the narrative, confusing the audience.
Yeah, because everybody gets confused when they're watching an Avengers movie. No.
I thought...
It's not deep.
Yeah, but I thought at the end of the first one, he got put into a parallel universe. I wouldn't have expected him to come back.
I don't know. Very, very strange. Oh, some more casting news as well. Assassin's Creed is the latest video being turned into a film. This could be a really, really good one, though, because already Michael Fassbender is in line to play the lead role in this. But also now Brendan Gleeson and Jeremy Irons have been cast in this as well.
They know better.
Look, it could be good. This could be good.
Prince of Persia.
Yeah, it could be that. But then it might not be. We're expecting it for a December 30th, 2016 release. I'm always fearful about video game adaptations because most of the time they're not very good. Apart, of course, from Super Mario Brothers starring Bob Hoskins, which of course was brilliant, or Street Fighter with Kylie Minogue.
That happened?
Yeah, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Kylie Minogue, Street Fighter. Awful. In fact, that all of them are. That's the thing. There's not been a video game movie that's actually been any good, I don't think. Have a think. There isn't
Ralph.
One. Yeah, but that's not a real video game. It was a film first. That's what I mean. Yeah. If it's a video game turned into a film, there hasn't been any that are any good. You'll rack your brains, but you won't find one.
No, I won't.
While you're racking your brains, we'll do this. Yes, it's Star Wars news. This is Kat's favourite part of the show. And Benicio Del Toro, the man that talks like this... That's my impression of Benicio. It's pretty good, isn't it? It's good, isn't it? He's bringing his drowsy menace, of course, to Sicario this week as a mysterious Latin American figure. But he's been chatting on the press tour of that. He's been chatting Star Wars Episode 8. Because he's in that, signing up for villain duties. But beyond that, we don't really know that much. He is apparently he's talking about Rian Johnson, who's the director, and he says he's bringing a cool sci-fi realism, if I may say that. I love his film Looper. I was just talking to him about that film. He's one of the new talented people that Star Wars is hiring to infuse the franchise with new steroids. So he's not saying too much about what his character's going to be in Star Wars Episode 8, but of course he'll be alongside Episode 7's Daisy Ridley, John Boyega and Oscar Isaac when the sequel lands in May 26, 2017. So with the sequel Episode 8, that is, of course, Episode 7 opens this December.
So Benicio Del Toro, he isn't even in this one that's coming out in December.
No, he's in the next one, Episode 8, which comes out in 2017.
Can the chickens fully
hatch? Oh, no, they're guaranteed chickens. Guaranteed to hatch. It will be the biggest movie of all time this December. I bet you any money it will be the number one movie of all time. It will make so much money.
How many times are you going to go and see it to prove that point?
I've already discussed how many times I'm going to see it with the wife, because there'll be a midnight showing at an IMAX somewhere. She doesn't want to go and see that. So I'll go then.
Yeah.
I'm going to make sure I get the day off work after that, because I'm going to go again. My wife's going to take that day off and we're going to go again to the IMAX that day together.
Listen to the music building up as you talk about.
And then we'll probably go and see it in the evening a little bit later on. I'm going to try and see it three times in the first day. That's what I'm going to try and do. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. It's good you're passionate about something.
That's your Star Wars news for this week. We'll have more Star Wars news coming up next week. We're going to be reviewing The Martian, which is the big film out this week already. But coming out this week is, if you're a little bit scared of heights, it's possibly not the movie for you. Mm. Definitely don't go and see it in the IMAX. It's called The Walk. It stars Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and it's directed by Robert Zemeckis. And if you've seen the documentary Man on Wire, which is a fantastic documentary about the man that threw a tightrope across the Twin Towers, well, this is a dramatic version of that.
People ask me, why do you risk death? For me, this is life.
Welcome to New York. Anything to declare?
I'm going to hang a high wire between the two towers of the World Trade Center and walk on it.
Good luck.
No matter where I was going or what I was doing, I was always searching, looking for the perfect place to hang my wire.
Whoa.
I need you to help me pull this off.
I got just the guys.
Now it starts.
Come on, make it snappy. I'm in a red zone.
I'll figure out how to get the wire across. I think we should wait.
No!
This is extremely illegal, not to mention dangerous.
It's full of doubts, but when it's time to step on the wire, I don't know if I'll be able to take my first step.
Your heart will tell you what to do.
The man is obviously crazy. Are we just here to watch him die?
This isn't a game, Philippe. One mistake out there, and you're going to die.
Even the ending of that, you can hear all the creaking and everything. Listen, I think it's one of those films that you have to go and see at the IMAX. I think it's going to be an experience movie. Robert Zemeckis is a great storyteller, and he's a very visual storyteller. I'm always intrigued about what Robert Zemeckis does next, because he doesn't do the same sort of thing all the time. I mean, he was an amazing director during the 80s, and of course Back to the Future will be forever the best thing he's ever done. But then you look at things like Castaway, Flight, and he does some Polar Express. He does some different stuff all the time. And this, I mean, I love that the documentary Man on Wire. It was an amazing story.
I hadn't plucked up the courage to watch it, so what am I going to do? Go in an IMAX and watch this?
I do want to see it, because I think you're right. It's the sort of thing, it's an experience movie. You need to see it on a big screen now, I think, don't you?
Yeah, I've always wanted to unearth heart troubles in myself.
Let's have a look at a couple of movies that are out already. Myself, I've been to go and see The Martian. We've also been to see Macbeth, which Catricia's seen that. So The Martian, Ridley Scott's brand new film, and from the book of the same name. My wife's reading the book at the moment after seeing the film. And I know there's a lot of people that would say, OK, I'd prefer to read the book. the film always spoils it. But I think this way round, it's actually not a bad thing, really.
That's what Luke said, wasn't it, last week?
Yeah, it's not a bad way of doing it, because the film, let put it this way, the film is amazing. It really, really is amazing. It's a story of Matt Damon, who plays, and he's part of a crew, a NASA crew that are on Mars. There's a little accident that happens right at the beginning of this. There's no spoiler here. It's all in the trailers. There's an accident that Matt Damon's involved in, and they presume he's dead. So they leave, and he's not. He's not dead. So he has to figure out a way of surviving on a planet where there is no way of surviving, and how he does that, and whether or not NASA are able to go back and get him. That's the story. And it's one of the funny, it's a lot funnier than I thought it was going to be. The soundtrack is excellent. If you love 70s disco music, you're going to really love the soundtrack. There's a few other things thrown in as well. It's visually, it's absolutely stunning, as you'd expect, because it's Ridley Scott doing space again, which is wonderful to see. If you ever had your problems with Prometheus, which a lot of people did, you can't deny it looked absolutely stunning. And this looks really, really stunning as well. Matt Damon is fastly becoming one of my favourite actors, because he is brilliant in this. He is so funny. I would imagine he might get an Oscar nod for it. It's not sort of like your typical Oscar fodder.
Yeah.
But he is brilliant in it, because most of the time he is acting to no one. He's acting just to a camera and doing like video diaries. But he is hilarious right the way through it. And it's 2 hours, 20 minutes long. I came out of that movie and it could have been another hour long, and I would have been more than happy. It's one of those, I didn't want it to end. I did not want it to end. Every single person that's in the film provides a stellar performance, I think. Cheer to Ojafel, he's in it as well. Jeff Bridges is brilliant. Really, really good. I just really, really enjoyed it. I said straight after I came out, it's one of the best films I've ever seen. It's in my top 10 of all time.
Yeah, when I asked you if it was better than Star Wars, you did pause.
Look, it's a different kettle of fish. I wouldn't rate it the same.
That shows how...
But it was so good. It's a definite Blu-ray purchase when it comes out. I preferred it to Interstellar. I loved Interstellar. I really like Interstellar. This is a lot less cerebral than Interstellar. Yeah. If you came out of Interstellar thinking, oh, I didn't understand a few bits in there, you'll be fine with this. It's quite popcorn, but, you know, there's a lot going on in there, but it's just a great ride. It's just brilliant. I heartily recommend everybody to go and see it.
I imagine he's taken a risk making it as lighthearted and funny, because, I guess, with space films, there's more of a tendency to have a social commentary about us destroying the planet, which I imagine there is, but there's also... loads of disaster and shocks and kind of backstabbing. And from the sounds of it, this is mostly a joyful film.
Yeah, I think mostly it is, yeah. But I think a lot of the comedy comes from the book. My wife's just started to read the book, as I say, and she's saying that the book's just as funny, even more funny than the film. So that's the source material, what it's come from. So definitely what you see in the book is up on the screen as well. So... well done. Talking of source material, Macbeth has got some pretty good source material.
Bard.
Oh, Bill, he was an all right little scribe, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He wasn't too bad at all. I remember studying Macbeth for GCSE English. And it's still embittered in my brain. When shall we three meet again? In thunder, lightning or in rain? When the hurly-burly's done, when the battle's lost and won.
I smiled when that bit came up, because I was like, looking around like, oh,
I know this bit of school. What did you think? Michael Fassbender as Macbeth, good?
Oh, amazing. If no one knows the premise, some people don't, he defeats Macbeth, is kind of, I guess, like a gladiator figure. He's the head of an army. He destroys two invading armies. He is visited by three witches in the play, but in the film it's three witches, a small child and a baby, which I need to look up why, because I didn't understand that, which is odd, who tell him that he's going to take King Duncan's place and be the King of Scotland.
Yeah.
In the play, usually Lady Macbeth is...
And Duncan's horses did turn around and eat themselves. I remember that bit as well. Those are the only bits I remember.
About the trees, men in the trees.
Yeah, yeah, that's the only two bits I remember.
Lady Macbeth in the play is mainly the instigator, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's the one who is most destroyed by the demons and loss of a child. And she in this, played by Marion Cotillard. I don't know if I'm saying her name right.
Marion Cotillard.
Cotillard. Yeah, saying it wrong. She says that she plays her English. So we imagined that she maybe couldn't take on the Scottish accent, but it didn't take away from it because apparently Fassbender was slipping in and out of English and Scottish, and I didn't notice.
Right.
And
he's Irish, isn't he?
He's German.
Is he German? I thought he's Irish.
Oh, we'll have to look
I've heard it. Oh, I think he's Irish.
And
I'm going to Google it.
She takes more of a back seat. She's kind of wracked with guilt, whereas he's the madman. It's filmed quite arty. There's lots of slow-mo into battle, interspersed with really fast shots into battle, which I don't think works so much. The witches are brilliant. They're just kind of these plain women, a little bit scarier, with, like, marks on their faces. And I heard someone say that it was a bit odd that it was just people just took it like, oh yeah, there's some witches there, oh yeah, we'll just listen to what they're saying, which they do. His descent into madness is filmed a bit like Trainspotting.
Oh dear.
So his head's going really fast, and then there's like,
oh really,
so yeah, it's quite clever, and there's a bit of paranormal activity almost when the sun, it's like a time lapse, and he's like, he's shaking and staying in the same position. It is very, very bloody. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's very stabby. very, very,
very
stabby.
Very stabby.
It's in full ye olde English, so if you don't want to tolerate that, don't go and see it. It is really good. It's really powerful. Fassbender is brilliant. I'd never really had any doubts about his acting abilities, but seeing him in that, I could see him as James Bond now, seeing as how quickly...
Really?
You know, he's... For me, he's only been a head in a backpack. Spoilers. And and Macbeth. So now, I could see him as James Bond. I feel like he could do anything.
We're both right. He's a German-Irish descent. High five! Yes, he was born in Heidelberg, but his mother is Northern Irish, so he spent quite a lot of his life in County Kerry. In the end, went to back to the Republic of Ireland. So we were both right.
Yeah,
right. I like that. We're both right. Okay, so Macbeth out of the moment, The Martian out of the moment as well, and the big new movie this week, of course, The Walk, which is currently going to be opening up in IMAX and plenty of other cinemas. Now, have a look at the movies are on TV this week.
Yes.
And I'm going to go Film 4 on Friday, and I'm going to go Taken, which is on at 10:40 on Film 4 from 2007, the first... Don't bother with Taken 2. Don't bother with Taken... I've not even seen Taken 3. I always remember I heard the review. Not Billy told me, Taken 3 makes Taken 2 look like Taken. So I'm not going to watch Taken 3. I watched Taken 2. It was awful. But Taken is excellent. I will find you. And I will kill you. He is great. Liam Neeson turns middle-aged action hero, Jerry Action, as they call it, in a gritty thriller with French director Pierre Morel. You've not heard that term before, Jerry Action. It's like Sylvester Stallone and that, when they bring them back and they're in the Expendables. It's Jerry Action. It's a good term, isn't it? It's a good term. So that's 10:40, Friday night, Taken, from 2007 on Film 4. What have you got?
Well, you said it was quite a poor week for movies, and it definitely is.
It is, isn't it?
I saw one on Thursday that I've already seen in the cinema, and it was tolerable. It's Safe House. It's on Film 4 at 9 o'clock. It's a throwaway popcorn action film.
It's all right.
Just don't expect anything too outside of the box. Just turn off
Denzel,
your brain.
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds.
It's all right.
Bloody again.
Yeah. It's all right. Yeah, you're right. It's a... good couple of hours popcorn movie. You're not going to come out of that film and think that was a waste of time, but you won't come out of it thinking, wow, that was The Godfather. So
yeah,
I think it's all right though. Yeah. Well, when's that on?
That is on tomorrow at 9 o'clock on Film 4.
9 o'clock on Film 4. Film 4 has taken a hammering there this weekend.
Yeah.
I've actually gone terrestrial for my next two. On BBC 2 on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock, How the West Was Won from 1962. Classic American Western film. And this is an epic recreation. This, of course, if you want an all-star cast, this is an all-star cast, okay? James Stewart. Gregory Peck, Carol Baker, Debbie Reynolds, John Wayne, Henry Fonda, and Richard Widmark. That is an amazing, amazing lineup. How the West Was Won, Saturday afternoon on BBC Two.
This film terrifies the life out of me. It's called Wolf Creek. It's on the horror channel. I didn't know if it was very scary to everyone else because I'm quite a wuss, but...
No, it's scary.
About the three backpackers go missing, picked up by a man who takes them back to his torture farm, which there are some scenes that will never leave your brain.
Yeah, and if you're thinking of going backpacking around Australia, do not watch this film before you go. The other freaky thing about Wolf Creek is the guy that plays the nasty guy, the torturey guy, in Australia. He's a very famous Australian actor, but mainly because for about 15, 20 years, he was the main guy in Play School.
So it's like Dave Benson Phillips being a baddie.
Basically, yeah. Like Mr. Tumble having a go at someone with an axe.
He is scary.
He is really scary. But he was one of the most beloved children's actors in Australia. So I think Australians never really got it.
I don't want to be typecast.
And he certainly isn't. My final film, Channel 5, Saturday afternoon, 12:55, Tinkerbell and the Lost Treasure from 2009.
Oh,
it's a Disney fairies, and the fairy and her friends work together to create a magical scepter that will ensure the world's supply of fairy dust does not run out. That's for Isabel on Saturday afternoon because she loves. I must admit, I watch a lot of films with her, and she does like Tinkerbell and the Pirate Fairy. She likes that's one of her favourite Tinkerbell movies, and Tinkerbell the Lost Treasure. That's up there as well. So if you've got kids, then watch it. It's just they're all right. They're quite done quite nicely, really. So enjoy that. That's on Saturday afternoon. Tinkerbell. Who thought I'd be recommending that today?
No, I didn't. Actually. I've gone for Friday again. Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know much about it. My housemate said it's a tiny bit like Catcher in the Rye, and I liked that book, so I thought I'd watch it.
Okay.
It's got Ezra Miller and Emma Watson in. Looked quite good. Film 4. 5 to 7.
There you go. Quick reminder of your clip-bait clip this week. You've got to name the movie that this clip is from.
You talking to me? You talking to me? You talking to me? Well, who the hell else are you talking to? Talking to me? Well, I'm the only one here.
What film's that from? If you think you know, you can get in for the movie prize pack this week at @radio_Yorkshire. Use the hashtag clipbait, or you can email us to studio@radioyorkshire.co.uk.